is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Good evening. You know, I was already told by Miss Kay through Nick to keep a watch on time before she even said, "Hey, how are you?" So I'm going to try my best, Miss Kay, I promise. It's so good to be able to stand before y'all tonight once again and have the opportunity to study God's will for us as Christians tonight. I'm always thankful and honored whenever the elders ask me to be able to fill in whenever the case may arise, and I hope that each one of us can gain something from tonight's lesson. Have you ever failed to recognize something that's valuable in your life? Maybe it was a relationship or a friendship, or it might have even been something that was materialistic, something that had a physical price to it that was valuable, and you failed to realize that value of it. Well, the same can be said for a man by the name of Stan Caffey. See, Stan was preparing for the married life as he was cleaning out his garage and donated many of his possessions to Goodwill. And one of the items that he donated was an old copy of the Declaration of Independence that had been hanging on his wall in the garage for about a decade. And as it turns out, Stan's trash turned out to be another man's treasure. You see, this particular version of the Declaration of Independence was a rare copy that was made in 1829. And a man by the name of Michael Sparks spotted it, and he purchased the document for a grand total of $2.48. Sparks later auctioned it off for almost $500,000. I would say that's a pretty good profit. You see, just like Mr. Caffey's Declaration of Independence, we have something very valuable ourselves in our Christian walk of life. And that something of value would be our influence. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about. The influence that we have can be very powerful, and it can do a lot of good for the people around us, or it can do a lot of evil, a lot of bad. Now, before we get into much more of the lesson, I want y'all to think back to your childhood. And most of you probably grew up going to child devotionals or VBSs or things like that. And I want you to think about a certain song that talked about a little light. This little light of mine. And I want everybody to hold up their little light. Go ahead and hold it up. We're going to sing it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine all the time. Let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine all the time, let it shine. Good job. Now that song might be a little bit more of an elementary way of thinking of our influence, but the concept behind it is something that can be very deep. Our main text for this evening is what Nick read for us, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. If you haven't already, you can go ahead and be turning there. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. In the Bible, we know of two things that Christians are called to be. And that's going to be the two points tonight. The first thing is that we are called to be the salt of the earth. In verse 13, it says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." You see, in the first century, salt had a variety of functions. Because of this, it was highly valued. And even sometimes, the Roman soldiers would be paid with salt. And if that soldier didn't perform his duties the way that the higher authorities wanted him to, then they would say something along the lines of, "He's not worth his salt." You see, just like salt, Christians can be very valuable to our surrounding communities. And one important purpose of salt back in those days, it was used as a preservative. Salt was used to keep meat from decaying and becoming rotten. And just like salt was used to keep meat from being corrupted, God's people keep the world from corruption itself. We are to influence the world for good. There is not enough salt in the world that was before the great flood. As it talks about in Genesis 6, starting in verse 5, it says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And then picking back up in verses 11 and 12, it says, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth." If you remember the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, it says in Genesis 13, chapter 13, verse 13, it says, "But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord." And then, if you also remember the Canaanites, when God cast the Canaanites out of their land, the passage there is Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 3 through 5. "Therefore, understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you, so you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said to you. But do not think in your heart, after the Lord has got your God has cast them out before you, saying, 'Because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me into possess this land.' But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you. It is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out before you, and that you may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." You see, in this time period, there was not enough good in the world to save it from its own wickedness. And today, as Christians, we have to preserve this world in order that it might be saved. Another function of salt is that it was used as a seasoning agent, as we use it today, to enhance the flavor of food. And just like salt enhances the flavor of food, we have to be able to enhance our community and make people thirst for Christ and desire a hunger for the gospel of Christ. Instead of withdrawing from society, we need to get involved in society. We can get involved in several different areas, like education or sporting events or media or things of that nature. And as Christians, we can make it a better place. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." So you see, we're supposed to be involved in our communities as Christians. Salt also functioned as an antiseptic, a disinfectant. Now, before doing the study for this lesson, I didn't know that. Christians are, just as salt, Christians are to help disinfect a dirty and sinful world. This means we cannot compromise what we believe to be true and what we stand on firm in our beliefs with sin. We must be honest with people. We must be honest in our friendships, our relationships, with our family members, even when it hurts. You see, when salt was used as an antiseptic, it had a sting to it when it was put on a wound. That was part of the healing process. We have to be able to stand for what is true and just in God's eyes. And as one writer puts it, we are to be the salt of the earth, not the sugar of the earth. Another point Jesus brings up about salt is that it can become very useless. Salt from the Dead Sea contained many impurities. And if it was not processed correctly, it would have a poor taste and become useless. You see, a disciple of Christ can also lose the qualities that help him have good influence. He loses his purpose and his influence. In Revelation 3:15-17, it says, "I know your works, that you are neither cold or hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich and I have become wealthy and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." So as Christians, we are to be preserving our own communities and our nation. The second thing that we're called to be is that we're called to be the light of the world. In the later part of our main text, Matthew 5, and starting in verse 14, it says, "You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light up a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Christians are the light of the world. As a matter of fact, we're the only light that matters. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5, it says, "You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." This is because we belong to Christ, Christ who is the source of light, as John talks about in John 1, verse 9. Christians are to light up a dark and sinful world. Christianity is not something that can be done in a corner, but it has to be done out in the open. Christians must go out into the public and stand for what is truth and righteous. In the day of Jesus, homes were lit by small clay lamps, and since most Jewish homes were small, placing a lamp on a stand could light up the entire house. Yet how many Christians extinguish their lamps when they go to school or work or sporting events or community activities? I would say there would be a lot of us that would do that. Christians are to bring light into the world and give the world a glimpse of who Christ is. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, it says, "That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life." You see, we must do what is good and right and true. We have to make sure that we are constantly walking in the light and down the path of righteousness. If we as Christians are not walking down that path, then how would those who don't follow Jesus know how to come to him? If we have to set the proper example for our society. And lastly, light dispels darkness. Spiritual darkness consists of ignorance. It consists of unbelief, of error, of sin. And we know that Jesus is the source of light because he is the exact opposite of all these things. You see, Jesus was very wise in the plan of salvation. He knew what was set ahead of him. He knew what was to come of him. And he believed in that plan. He believed in what God had set before him. He was also found to be perfect. He was the perfect sacrifice. And when he defeated death at the cross of Calvary, he became eternal. In Ephesians 5, verses 11 through 13, it says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light." We as Christians have a responsibility, and that responsibility is to expose the things that are wicked for what they are. And by doing this, we also approve those things that are excellent. So I want to ask you tonight, or I want you to ask yourself tonight, excuse me, I want you to ask yourself tonight, am I making people thirst for Christ? Or what are some dark areas in my own life that I can shine some light into? Do people I associate with know that I'm a disciple of Christ? Do I bring glory by how I live my life? Those are questions that we should be asking ourselves on a daily basis. You see, Christ is the source of light. And we as Christians must be plugged in, if you will, we must be plugged into the light source to shine the light into the world. Are you in Christ and are you abiding in Christ? Maybe to this point in your life, you've not become a Christian, and you're struggling on when and how to make that commitment. Well, I tell you tonight, friend, there is no time like the present to put Christ on in baptism. You have been given the opportunity tonight to do just that, to die to the old self and to be resurrected a new creature in Christ. Or maybe you're here tonight and you've already done those things, you've already believed, you've already been baptized, and yet you are no longer plugged in to Christ. Or maybe you have lost your will to be the salt of the earth. Well, we are here for you, to pray with you and for you. If you have any need to come, won't you come while we stand and sing?